Oh, so excited. I'm not used to using a microphone, but we're gonna roll with it. Sure. I have, look, this is my thorough notes, right? Hi. Elevator music just feels like a great introduction. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm Jennifer Jeanette, and I am the executive director of NAMI. I've been here before. I did a presentation about ending the silence. So we'll talk more about NAMI, but today I really decided to talk more about my own mental health journey and share a little bit about that and my walk with my faith. And how that intertwined over the years. So we'll start out with seeing the church pews here. I grew up in a wonderful, beautiful church here in Marion, Ohio. Started very young. I don't even remember how old I was. But church pews became a big part of my life. See, my family, my mom, my dad, myself, and my sister, we attended church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening. I have wonderful memories of Jesus and learning about Jesus and learning about God and just having a very deep connection with the Lord early on. We don't really need the slides. I have like 6 slides. I'll just talk if that's okay. Whenever you're ready, you can switch slides. At some point, my family also became the janitors of the church. So not only were we there for the services, but then we were also there as the janitors. And we were all expected to help. I was young girl at this time. I don't really recall how old I was, just young. But one of my favorite things to do was to go and dust the church pews. And I would be in the sanctuary all by myself, and it was quiet, and it was my task to dust all those church pews. And there were a lot of them, and they were all wood. We didn't have these comfy chairs back then, or a nice cushion. So the whole pew would need to be dusted, and I spent lots of time in that sanctuary. But it was that quiet time by myself in the sanctuary that I recall feeling just connected and feeling God's presence and just blessed to have that time, even though I was there to clean. Our church was our whole part of our family. You know, I have other great memories of foot washing back then, and at my church we did foot washing, and I remember watching the adults and the humility of a grown man getting down in front of another grown man and washing their feet, and it was just such a sacred, beautiful witness of humility and giving to each other and supporting each other and loving each other. So those were my foundation at church. Now at home, life wasn't so perfect. And so we looked like we were pretty perfect, but we weren't. And what I experienced as a young child, it's what I believe generational trauma being passed down through my parents onto me. So they didn't really know, you know, the things they were creating. But what I can tell you is I have always been told, and I've known, I was always a very sensitive child, emotional child, and also very stubborn. And I had a father. My father's still alive. I love my father. My dad was didn't understand that emotional side of me, my crying and, you know, my creativity and my going off and being by myself. He didn't understand that. He also didn't understand my stubbornness. and he wanted to control it. So that created a dynamic where I learned very early on that how I was not really okay. And unfortunately, I just from my family dynamics, I experienced a lot of trauma. And so I received physical discipline, emotional discipline, just lots of not real healthy things. And that was the foundation. So I'm living like this at home, but I'm going, we have this wonderful church family, and that was all through my beginning. And so I just thought, everybody lives like this, right? You can go ahead and switch slides. I had other things that happened too, at some other traumatic events that had nothing related to my childhood. And one thing in particular, it was my childhood, but my family. One thing that happened is that I lived in a neighborhood that wasn't the best neighborhood. This could happen in any neighborhood. I'm not saying because it was in a bad neighborhood, but someone tried to kidnap me, tried to snatch me. And so that was just another layer. And I'm building these layers of trauma at such a young age. And I remember I couldn't sleep at night. I was a young girl. I couldn't sleep at night. I'd be awake all night, and I would be crying. And guess what? I was a problem, right? I was a real problem because I'm keeping everybody up. And so I remember my parents said, we're going to have you talk to the pastor because you're having this issue. I was probably, I don't know, around seven, eight years old. We're going to have you. And I remember going into the pastor's office, which you never really did too much, go into pastor's office. And he sat me down in a chair across from him, and he said, what's going on? I don't know. I can't sleep. I'm scared. What are you scared of? I'm just scared. At that age, I didn't even know what to tell him I was scared of. I just knew I was scared. And he said, well, you need to trust God more. And I thought, even my way I'm living with my religion's not right. There's just everything about me is not right, right? I'm not doing anything real well here at my 8-year-old self. But what I did know is those nights that I was awake and I couldn't sleep and I was scared, I felt God's presence. I always knew he was with me. There was never a question. I always felt him and knew he was there, my comforter and my rock. So I knew that. And so I started navigating life and learning how to be a person. And my family, unfortunately, at around the age 11 and 12, as the abuse continued and the dynamics continued, we ended up with a broken family. Divorce. I lived with both parents on and off. There became some domestic abuse. I mean, it just continued. But my faith stayed strong through all of those times. I didn't even live with my parents some of those times. There was a time I had a bed on a front porch during that time. But God was always with me. I always felt him, and I always knew he was there. And I remember at about the age of 16, when I had that bedroom on the front porch, that as I continued going to church on my own through that time, I remember God there on my heart. My dad was supposed to come pick me up, take me out to dinner. It was really great. He would come and we would go out to a great dinner, go shopping and everything, which was wonderful. But I was overcome with the feeling of forgiveness for my dad. Even at that age, God spoke to me and laid it on my heart. And, you know, in the words of forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. I felt that for my father. He didn't know what he was doing. He wasn't purposefully doing this. And I remember getting in the car with him that day and saying, I know you don't realize what you've done, but I forgive you. And I did at that moment. So life continued on. I met a wonderful youth pastor in my later teenage years, and she had me come live with her. And I felt for the first time what it was like to live within a home that had love, that had support, that encouraged me. But still those traumas from early on, I was still battling that it wasn't good to be sensitive. It wasn't good to be stubborn. I had to be something different than what I was in order to be loved. So I continue on, become an adult, and, you know, trying my best. I went to church, I tithe, I continued with my faith. I believed, you know, if I did everything right, then life would go well. Things would get better. I would see the results. And then in my early 20s, I remember sitting at my desk at work, and all of a sudden, flashback of things, a couple particular of the worst things that happened. And it was like I was just there all over again. And it kept absorbing my thoughts, and I would get emotional, and I would get upset, and my body would feel the panic of me being right there of when it happened. And this kept happening, and that's what you call post-traumatic stress disorder, for those who do not know. The anxiety that I felt trying to be good, trying to be right, trying to be what I thought everybody needed me to be, along with these things that had happened to me. And so it's coming out as post-traumatic stress disorder. And I didn't know for sure, but I knew something wasn't quite right. I should say in my later teens, I had a lot of anxiety. I didn't know why, because I thought everybody lived like this. I had no idea that this was a different way of living. And I remember my parents being like, "We don't know what's wrong with her, but she's causing a problem again," right? And so I did have some treatment for anxiety in my teen years. So fast forward to my 20s, post-traumatic stress disorder setting in. I knew enough to reach out for help. Now, I'll remind you, I'm still attending church. I know God can heal me. If I'm faithful enough, this can just be taken away from me. I can be healed. But I also knew enough to go to therapy. And I will tell you that I received great treatment from a wonderful lady who just started a treatment called EMDR. And that was sent to God for me, because for those moments of post-traumatic stress disorder, I felt healing. But the anxiety, the panic attacks, they all continued throughout my life. But again, I just kept plugging along. I kept saying, "I will be okay. I'm going to be okay. If I just do everything right, everything's going to be okay." And then got into my 30s. I'm getting older, if you can't tell by this story. I'm trying to sum up 50 years here. But in my 30s, I was tired. I was tired of trying. I was tired of trying to be good. And I was mad. I was mad that I had tried all these years, and I had trusted, and I had had faith, and I had been obedient, and that I still was not okay. And I remember getting really mad at God and saying, "How much can one person take? I can take no more. And I am angry, and I don't feel you, and I don't know where you are." And that anger stuck with me for a long time. And it was like, I just couldn't feel him. I remembered in my 20s, praying, and I would see myself walking with Jesus along the way, praying, talking, having relationship. We would sit down, we would discuss, and I remember thinking, this is what a father's love would feel like. Someone who loved me unconditionally, who valued me, this is what it would feel like. And now here in my 30s, I was so far away from that. I was angry, mad, and full of anxiety, trying to be perfect, trying to be somebody that would be worthy enough to love and to value. And so I stayed in that place for a really long time. A really long time of anger. I don't know that I really realized it. I mean, I remember that moment of being angry, but I didn't realize how much I was really carrying that. And for many years, the world was more about me and what I thought was right and what I thought was what I needed in my life and control. I was controlling my life and what was happening in it, making decisions based on that. I would feel like I would seek counsel from God, but I couldn't feel him. I couldn't. I was hardened. I was so hard and just done. So as you can imagine, things went okay, but not real great, right? And then, thank you. Thank you for that. There was a major breaking point in my 40s. Here we are, we're in the 40s, where it was like all of that I couldn't carry any longer. It was a breaking point where it's like something's got to change. And guess who's that got to be? That's got to be me. And I started looking at my behaviors and what am I doing and why am I doing this? And I can't be soft, so I have to be strong. I can't be imaginative, so I have to be logical. It's not good to be sensitive. I gotta be okay all the time, but I was really not okay. I had anxiety so bad that my body would break out in a rash. I lost some of my hair. Your body will tell you when you're not okay. And my body was definitely telling me I was not okay. So I started seeking. I started surrendering. I started saying, help me understand this. I had a therapist that came into my life. I hadn't been in therapy for a little while at that point. But guess what he was? He was also a pastor. You see this? God put people in my life all the way along this path, just when I needed it most. And so the pastor, who was a licensed therapist, worked with me for any time I needed him. And I started learning what happened. God didn't leave me. I left him. He was there all along, but I was too hard, I was too controlling to know that he was there. And when I finally surrendered to that and I could see I was born perfect, perfect in his eyes, perfect in the way I am, whole, don't have to be anybody different. He can use me just as I am. I had started working for NAMI 4 years ago, and this was part of the journey. Because when I started working with NAMI, what we do is we support people, we educate people. Hey, let there be light. But people were so honest about their mental health journey. And I was there as the executive director. I knew I had my own journey, but I was focusing more on like my family member's journey or, you know, this and that. And I'm like, wait a minute. These people are so honest and so welcoming. I felt okay to talk about my own issues, my own post-traumatic stress disorder, my own anxiety, that it allowed me to break down those walls by talking about it, being honest about it, being authentic, being me, and still saying, I'm okay, look, I mean, this is kind of my job today, but, you know, like, to be authentically, this is who I am, and that allowed me to feel God in my heart and in my life again. I think I have another slide. Maybe. So this Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I think a lot of times, and you maybe go on to the next slide. I think I'm ready for that one. So redefining surrender. Religion, I always felt like I was striving to reach a distant God, a God that was out there, a God that lived, and I wanted that connection. I wanted the connection. But then when I surrendered, I letting go, letting a connected God that lives through you, lives inside of you, is a part of you, helps you with your walk. We get to be his hands and feet of where we go, and that's such a just this beautiful feeling, and it brings connectedness again. When you have support and connection, that's when you're able to grow and you're able to flourish, and you can break down those walls. You can go ahead. So what did these practical steps look like for me with my mental health journey and with my walk with faith is dropping the mask. So the mask is all those ways that I developed to be what I thought I needed to be. The mask is needing to be strong, needing to be structured, when that I'm a creative, imaginative person. You know, it's okay, you gotta have a balance, but being authentically me, releasing control. I was trying to control everything during that time. I didn't know that. I just thought, this is what people do. You're just supposed to do this. This is how you live. You got to make sure everything's okay. But once I decided, or it was revealed to me, that the surrender allowed me to let go of that control and start living with God working through me. And then the other part of this was reaching out for support. So again, the church body is such a huge, huge body of people who can walk beside someone and say, I love you for who you are. I love you for where you're at. I'm going to stand beside you wherever you are in your mental health journey and your faith journey. We're here for you. NAMI is here. Like I said, we have the support groups, friends and family, but sometimes therapists too. Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need someone outside of ourselves to help us navigate through what we're dealing with, and that's okay. God uses all different ways to help us. He wants us healed, and that's what I experienced, was healing. But it took a long journey. It took a lot of different people along that way. But I'm still, trust me, healing and growing and not arrived in any way. But I can see where God placed those people all the way through there. It wasn't me doing it alone. It took support of other people, intervention of other people to walk alongside me to get me to where I have healing today. We're just going back to the pews. And I think that's so important, to love and embrace who you are. We all have gifts. We all have our natural who we are people. And embracing that about yourself, allowing that surrender to say, I don't have to, God loves me just the way I am. He created me for a purpose. And we all have a different purpose, and he's there always. And surrendering back to him, taking that control down, of how life should be, supposed to be, ought to be. It is, because he is there with us, knowing how it's all going to turn out. We don't get to control the plan. He has the plan.